EM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The headline in today's Harvard Gazette, College President Claudine Gay will remain in office. She faced multiple calls to resign after some wealthy donors deemed her congressional testimony anti-Semitic. Poli-Sci professor Ryan Enos signed a letter of support.
We didn't think that politicians should be forcing university presidents to resign or to say certain things or something like that. And also, you know, billionaire alumni on Twitter shouldn't be doing that either.
The UN General Assembly set to act on a resolution today calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. CBS's Pam Falk.
A vote in the 193 General Assembly is purely symbolic, and there are no vetoes, so the resolution is likely to pass.
Ukraine's president will press his case for passage of stalled U.S. aid when he visits Capitol Hill. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
Today, Zelensky will make a direct plea to all senators. He will also have a private meeting with House Speaker Mike Johnson.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The headline in today's Harvard Gazette, College President Claudine Gay will remain in office. She faced multiple calls to resign after some wealthy donors deemed her congressional testimony anti-Semitic. Poli-Sci professor Ryan Enos signed a letter of support.
We didn't think that politicians should be forcing university presidents to resign or to say certain things or something like that. And also, you know, billionaire alumni on Twitter shouldn't be doing that either.
The UN General Assembly set to act on a resolution today calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. CBS's Pam Falk.
A vote in the 193 General Assembly is purely symbolic, and there are no vetoes, so the resolution is likely to pass.
Ukraine's president will press his case for passage of stalled U.S. aid when he visits Capitol Hill. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
Today, Zelensky will make a direct plea to all senators. He will also have a private meeting with House Speaker Mike Johnson.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Todd Almaz Show.
Even Republican
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
It's got...
Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Packers lose to the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers never really had it going on offense, losing 24-22 to the Giants in New York. The Pack were 6-point favorites heading into the game. Packers defensive back Carrington Valentine.
I didn't even know he was favorites, honestly. I don't focus on that. I mean, I just go in and give every opponent the respect.
Valentine recovered a rare fumble by the Giants running back Saquon Barkley. The Giants managed to get into field goal territory and were good from 37 as time expired. In the NBA, the Bucks went into overtime with the Bulls, but managed a 133-129 win at home over Chicago. Giannis scored 32 points.
We're just getting good shots. I think we were able to get to our spots, execute. Everybody was aggressive. Brooke was aggressive. Dame was aggressive. And we're just able to execute.
That's the Bucks, Giannis, and Tedekupo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about, yeah.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine expected today with highs around 32. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 21 tonight. Highs level off around 36 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is.
In the breast
Breaking
milk.
Breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. I didn't realize how sunny it was till I was just looking out the window just now. So, skies are blue today.
Yeah, they are, man. And I was reading, must have been yesterday, this is one of the fourth warmest beginnings of December in the history of our state.
Yeah, my skating rink is pending. It's just pending. It's not gonna. And I fear as I put this thing up, it might never get filled.
So if you're just joining us, that's my co-host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Blue sky. Our sports teams tend to play down to their opponents. Have you noticed?
Yeah, you know, but before we go there, Sandy.
No, we don't even have to go there.
I'm going to go there.
Oh.
But we're taking, maybe we're just not understanding that it's the middle, almost the middle of December. And, you know, it's just not December-y the way it used to be, right? I mean, they're already predicting there's not going to be any snow in certain parts, especially where we live. There's not going to be snow, you know, before Christmas. But something is, come on, man, you can't think that there's nothing changing. It's going to be 50 degrees towards the end of the week, man.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, there's certainly anecdotal evidence. As the scientists would call our evidence like this anecdotal, but there's also empirical evidence. Year after year, we're setting records. So, I mean, I don't think anyone can argue that there's climate change there. There are people who, for their own reasons, would prefer that the climate change not be related to human conduct so they can go on with their life as usual. But I think there's also a substantial amount of empirical evidence that the climate that's changing is changing faster since human conduct began to contribute to it.
Yeah, and the worst part about it, Sandy, is we keep seeing people unwilling to even, you know, kind of accept that and say, okay, whatever it is we need to do, this just doesn't make any sense. Let's at least look at it instead of just totally dismissing it, right? I mean, I don't know, man, just... I mean, what, it's 35 degrees and they're saying it's cold? Hey, it's not cold for this time of year, man.
It depends on whether you live in North Carolina, which is what the and the project, the climate change projections would suggest that Wisconsin is going to be North Carolina in climate in the not too distant future.
So, wow. You know, you mentioned our sports teams. Did you see any of the Packer game yesterday?
Yeah, I sort of got frustrated by the end of the third quarter when it was clear that Jordan Love might be the long-term answer, but he wasn't the answer last night.
Sandy, I think they lost to Danny DeVito. Oh, I'm sorry. Wasn't Danny DeVito. No. There's a guy, by the time the fourth quarter and the last few minutes of the game, the quarterback for the Giants had only thrown for 100 yards.
Yeah. But he'd run for
71.
Yeah.
But Sandy, he had only thrown for 100 yards, and they were beating the Packers.
Well, you know, we had like four turnovers, I think,
right.
Three or four. And, you know, the defense did a great job. I think you have to measure a defense by how they do according to how many possessions that the other side has. And this season, the other side has had substantial possessions because our punter, Mr. Whalen, punts pretty often.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that means that our defense, and with four turnovers, so not only was Whalen busy punting last night, but we also gave the ball up a number of times, and the defense held them to 24 points.
Hey, Sandy, they lost to Danny DeVito. Oh, yeah. They lost to DeVito.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not saying...
I had to Google DeVito to figure out... where he'd come from.
So I was talking with Gilbert yesterday, and I said, well, you know, when the Packers were, you know, getting ready for this week's game, and they said, well, who's the Giants quarterback? And they said, kid named DeVito. And they said, hey, can you get some film on him? Well, we only have film on him from when he played youth football. Well, come on, man. We got Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are this. When my wife mentioned, she said, you know, we need to get a touchdown plus we need to get the 2 points. And I told my wife, I said, we haven't gotten 2 points, extra points all year. We suck at going for 2 points. At the, you know, rather than kicking the extra point, they got to come up with a better. They need to have some razzle dazzle that leaves these guys wide open. Like, take the running backs, go to the left. Jordan Love run to the right, take the tight end and you know, run out to the right. And then as the tight end's in the end zone, either Jordan Love runs it in or throws it.
Gary, we need a chalkboard for this conversation.
So, Gary, what I will say to you is what they needed was not to be down by four, five points or 4 points, whatever it was, with a minute and a half left. They're playing the New York Giants, for heaven's sakes. That's what they needed, not to be down by 4 points with a minute and a half left.
Well,
you know, everybody feels good after we ended up beating Kansas City, but Kansas City really sucks this year. They're really not very good. So beating Detroit, everybody's all excited about that. And what happens to Detroit, they end up barely winning the week after that and then got killed this weekend, you know? So,
the Packer fans, unfortunately, when they win, they're going to the Super Bowl. When they lose, they're on the scrap heap.
Well, yeah, to be honest with you, is that the Packer fans? I think that's the news media. I think that's the way everything is covered. You know,
yeah,
it's the world is ending. No, the world is it's the beginning of the next. I just think that we've gotten to the point where we aren't very factual about the way we look at things. He's being factual about the and what's happened to, I think, NFL is that there's really parity. And I think that Tom Brady's probably right that there is mediocrity, and I would accuse the mediocrity of existing in the offensive lines, and it makes it hard for quarterbacks to operate. The offenses are no longer as dominant as they were a couple of years ago. And I think that parity has come to exist, and it's in the trenches.
Well, Sandy, clearly when there have been 54 different starting quarterbacks, that's a sign of the Lions not being able.
Well, injuries. Yeah. With the injury. Well, there's injuries have had played a big role. I do think that the speed at which the game is played, you'll see it. I mean, special teams are clearly a dangerous episode, right? Because after every kickoff, someone is down. I mean, almost always you can count on an injury timeout. I wonder if the networks have begun to count on the revenue from injury timeouts.
But they've addressed it, Sandy, over the years. They've taken away, there are rarely any kickoff returns, right? They move the kicker closer so he kicks the ball further. A guy can now, and I'm still blown away by NFL kick returner.
Well, and punting. Punts are another problem.
Punts a little bit. Yeah, it's the same thing, but the kickoff guy, he sees the ball, and he's at the 10-yard line. The ball goes to the goal line. He lets it go over his head, and then they take it back at the 20.
Well, I think the difference is on a punt, the people covering the punt get held up at the line of scrimmage. They don't build up the same head of steam. On a kickoff, you know, you watch them. They're lined up.
Right.
They get 15 or 20 yards of they're running at full speed,
right.
And so it's a high-speed problem. But who knows? My view is that Brady's right, that there
mediocrity
there's more mediocrity in the league today, more people dropping passes, receivers are spread thin, everything's spread thin.
Yeah. Well, you know, clearly DeVito is not Brady, but the Packers lost to DeVito, and on a Monday night football game, And at the end of it, you could kind of see it was a minute and 20 seconds left when the Packers scored their touchdown. And I said, well, the game's over. DeVito is certainly not going to take him down. He had only thrown for 100 yards up until that point.
Yeah.
So we figured the game's over. He's not going to march them down the field. Sure enough, DeVito.
How long was the field goal they kicked?
36 yards.
Oh, it was a chip.
But the guy had already missed a 37-yarder earlier.
I know, but that's a chip shot.
I know. It's a chip shot. But the thing is, they allowed him to get down the field.
Yeah.
DeVito.
Yeah.
Right? With a minute left in the game. So, you know, I'm sure it stung because the Packers, they talked about they have the easiest remaining schedule. And so people felt like they were going to run the table. But it's not always so easy. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about on the other side. 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Don't touch that dial.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Boom, 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 boom.
Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to
no, no, no. That's Kate. What's her name?
I'll wait up for you, dear Santa.
This
baby.
Is Eartha Kitt.
Oh, that is Eartha Kitt. Yeah, you're right.
There's some gray cells that are waiting there once in a while.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That same number. Yeah, the one and only Eartha Kitt. You know, she defied age, right, for a long, long time.
She was pretty old when she sang this.
Yeah, you know, right? I said she kind of defied age. Yeah. It's Monday. Oh, it's Tuesday. I mean, Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, the housing market. There's talk about the housing market getting ready to crash. Your thoughts?
Well, there's two things being talked about the housing market. From the investment side, from the financial side, people are worried about particularly apartment owners, people who own multiple housing units, condo projects, apartment projects are viewed as being at risk. Most of them were financed with very low interest rates. Now they're going to be refinanced with higher interest rates. They're having trouble possibly getting the rents that they need to get. So there's that risk, but there's also on the other side, people are talking about how it is that it's getting very hard for middle America to get housing and to afford housing. And to some extent, the discussion of it today seems to only focus on the cost of, for instance, getting a mortgage, making buying a house more expensive, and that therefore getting a house is getting outside the reach of Tom, Dick, and Mary. But what they aren't talking about is the fact that the income and the budget for Tom, Dick, and Mary has changed. And the income and the budget for Tom, Dick, and Mary make it much harder for them to get a house because they're bearing other costs that weren't borne by people in our generation or the X generation, like benefits, like daycare. Like the things that two-income households necessarily face today, which cause them to have expenses that are necessities that make it harder for them to be able to afford a house. And so, yes, mortgage rates going up is making it harder. And the shortage of housing, one of the things that's happened is when mortgage rates go up, people who own existing houses and have low interest rate mortgages on those houses don't want to sell their houses because they'll have to step into a higher interest mortgage, and so they sit in their house and they don't put it up for sale. So one of the reasons that housing prices currently are being sustained and even going up is, even with mortgage rates going up, is that not many houses are for sale, and there's a shortage of supply and therefore an excess of demand. But really, I think it's like focusing on student loans as the identification of the problem for education, when in fact it's the cost of secondary education which is necessitating the student loans, which therefore look like the problem, but it's really the cost of secondary education. In today's world, this inability of Tom, Dick, and Mary to afford housing has everything to do with what the budget and revenue stream for Tom, Dick, and Mary look like, and has much less to do with what's happening on the cost side for housing.
So when you talk about the fact that there aren't many houses on the market, is that attributed to the fact that people are saying, even if I sell my home, the options for whatever I get next is inflated. The price of that is inflated.
Well, it has to do with the mortgage rate they've got being low. And so their housing costs monthly are low. If they stepped into a house of the same value, but a new house and a new mortgage, their monthly payment would go up.
Right, because it's 7%.
7% mortgage as compared to a 3% mortgage. So they're going to have a substantially increased monthly bill just based on that change in the mortgage payment. So when mortgage rates go up, it tends to slow down the rate at which people want to sell their houses.
So Sandy, is it normally, and maybe, you know, I thought I could remember that when mortgage rates and those kind of things went up, it slowed everything else down. Things are starting to slow down in the economy.
Well, in the 70s, you know, when mortgage rates really flew up, that's when we can all remember mortgage rates being double digit,
right.
Okay? But it's interesting because one of the reasons we had the collapse in 2008 is in no one's recollection had there been a time when the housing prices fell. Housing prices really didn't fall during that period of extreme escalation of interest rates. And housing prices had really never fallen since World War II. They'd been stable for periods of time, but maybe not risen. So housing prices were quite stable and not rising during the 1970s. But I'll tell you, people our age don't remember the value of their houses falling, even during that very tough time.
During that time with then President Jimmy Carter.
Right.
And those almost 17% interest rates?
Yes.
The housing market didn't.
The prices of houses
didn't go down.
I think you'll see that there are very, very scant periods of time between 1950 and 2008 when the price of houses ever went down. And it was that sort of artificial memory that caused the hubris of Wall Street to begin to ignore the problem of the potential that housing prices could go down, and that's what created all these toxic assets.
Well, wasn't that because it was the only way, in many instances, that people were able to guarantee building wealth was through their homes.
Well, yeah, that was the outcome of it. You know, by owning a home and having the value of the home rise during your period of ownership, and you paid off the mortgage during your period of ownership, so you bought a house for whatever, $200,000.
Right.
You had a $150,000 mortgage. You paid off the mortgage over 20 years. So 20 years later, your $200,000 house was worth $450,000, and you didn't owe anything on
right.
it. So you had put down a down payment of $50,000, and you ended up with $450,000. So, yeah, that's pretty much the way general America,
would build wealth. Yeah, and so I don't know, Sandy, if that's the case anymore.
Well, that is the problem in that Tom, Dick, and Mary today have a far greater problem being able to afford houses because, number one, that $50,000 down payment is very hard for them to obtain because they have student debt, because they have costs for health care benefits, right. They have to save for their retirement benefits, so they've got a 401k, they've got a fuel. So it's much harder for Tom, Dick, and Mary to have a budget that can incorporate this cost, regardless of that cost, okay? And the fact that houses have become more expensive is not what's making it prohibitive for Tom, Dick, and Mary to achieve that dream. That was already happening.
844-967-2789 is the number. It's Tuesday. I mean, Tuesday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me.
Boom, 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 boom.
Santa
boom,
boom, baby boom, forgot boom, to mention boom, boom, one boom, little boom, thing, boom, a ring.
Boom, boom, boom,
I don't boom, mean boom, on the phone, Santa boom, baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin Board of Regents meets in a special session today to discuss possibly accepting the funding deal they rejected Saturday. Republican leaders at the state legislature say that was their best and final offer. Among other things, the deal would repurpose about 40 diversity employees in exchange for pay raises for 35,000 UW workers. All three of Wisconsin's veterans' homes are getting federal grants through the state to hire nurses and keep them on the job. The grants to the long-term care homes in King, Union Grove, and Chippewa Falls add up to almost $733,000. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Wisconsin has been losing nurses at almost twice the rate as the rest of the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee has reversed its decision regarding the collection of Christmas trees. The Common Council has instructed Public Works to resume the pickup of trees at the curb this year. The change comes after Milwaukee's recent announcement that it would not collect trees due to a DNR regulation aimed at preventing them from ending up in landfills. While the city hasn't released specific plans for the collected trees, officials say they're committed to addressing the issue. Another sign of the season is upon us, with local governments sending out tax bills. Most communities have started sending out notices, with full payment or first installments due by the end of January. In many places, you can pay online. Gas prices in Waukesha and Milwaukee counties continue their downward trend. It's about $2.70 a gallon today, a dime lower than the state average. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The Packers lose to the Giants. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers never really had it going on offense, losing 24-22 to the Giants in New York. The Pack were 6-point favorites heading into the game. Packers defensive back Carrington Valentine.
I didn't even know we was favorites, honestly. I don't focus on that. I mean, I just go in and give every opponent the respect.
Valentine recovered a rare fumble by the Giants running back Saquon Barkley. The Giants managed to get into field goal territory and were good from 37 as time expired. In the NBA, the Bucks went into overtime with the Bulls, but managed a 133-129 win at home over Chicago. Giannis scored 32 points.
We're just getting good shots. I think we were able to get to our spots, execute. Everybody was aggressive. Brooke was aggressive. Dame was aggressive. And we're just able to execute.
That's the Bucks, Giannis, and Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine expected today with highs around 32. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 21 tonight. Highs level off around 36 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Little girls and little boys,
dream of worlds full of toys. This time of the year, when Christmas is near.
You know what that is?
No.
Nat King
Cole. Oh, that is? That's
Evergreen.
Nat King.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the King. Yeah.
Are snowy white.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays. My co-host, Sandy Williams. And let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Good morning, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. As I listen to Sandy put up the guardrails again.
What are you talking about, guardrails?
Well, all these parameters, why it wasn't Joe Biden and the Democrats that called this inflation. It wasn't the reason that, now we're dealing with wars and hostages all over with Americans being held hostage. He's right. The last time this happened was under Jimmy Carter, the last bad Democrat president. And the Republicans were safer and more prosperous with a Republican in the president Oval Office.
Okay, CJ, thank you for that, up-to-date information.
Do you have a purpose for calling in? What is it you want to say?
To put on the hypocrisy that you put guardrails up and you don't listen to what was warned about inflation from Larry Summers and the
inflation is 3.1%.
CJ, yeah. I don't understand how I didn't listen to it. I didn't have anything to do with whatever happened. I'm only speaking in commentary and the facts, and what we've talked about this morning is difficulty in homeownership.
Sandy, but, you got that kind of juice, huh?
Yeah, you know. Apparently, wow.
Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget it. You know, the conservatives have 10,000 other stations they can listen to around the state, and they can basically put their propaganda out there every chance that they get. We don't have a lot of progressive media in this country, actually. And the one grievance that I would have is that when these people get on the air and they spout their talking points or whatever, that somehow we correct them.
Yeah. Well,
because I know Gary said.
Well, so let me say this, Tom. We don't even want to delve any more into what was said by the last caller because it's irrelevant.
I'm not talking about the last caller. I'm talking about, like, Julie called last week, patted it by saying, hey, I really like L.A. Tom. But, no, there is a difference between someone that works for the government and works in an administration position versus a regular citizen in the United States.
No question.
And I was talking about the difference between the Trumps and Hunter Biden. We have all said over and over again, if Hunter did what he did, or if he's in trouble, he's going to have to face the consequences of that. But Hunter Biden is not somebody that worked in the government. And I think that point needs to be clearly made. I don't even like talking about Hunter Biden, but I want that record at least cleared, that for them to say that there is a comparison between Jared Kushner taking $2 billion. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to say both sides do it. Both sides do it. You know what? They don't. Both sides do not do it.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, I really didn't want to go down that hole, Sandy, because, there's some other things that we want to talk about. And so the Hunter Biden issue and, Donald Trump issue, we can certainly talk about that at different times. But we have some other things we kind of wanted to cover.
Well, I do think so. I do think that, you know, the whole Biden issue, you know, Joe Biden is obviously an issue. He's running, and the polls aren't particularly good right now for Joe Biden. I wish they were better, and I hope they get better. But I think we all ought to try and understand and analyze why they aren't going the way they should right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with conversation and perception. Some of it probably has to do with the whole Hunter Biden. I mean, I think that the Republican side has a much better feel in terms of the Madison Avenue feel for how to handle public relations and how to handle public opinion and how to stoke it in simplistic ways. And I fear that the manipulation of public opinion is right now redounding greatly to the detriment of the Democratic side in the election. And the thing that I fear most is that it would lead to the election of Donald Trump, which I think is a big danger.
But Sandy, here's what I don't understand. And yeah, I understand all the reasons and rationales behind why people say they don't want to vote for Joe Biden and all those different things. But here's a man, former president of the United States, who said he's immune from prosecution. Because when he was president of the United States, he shouldn't have been held accountable for anything that he did as president of the United States. And so the council has determined and decided that we're really concerned that this man somehow has the power that he can influence people to believe, Sandy, that he was the president of the United States. And so he legally had the right to do all the things that he did. And they're so concerned, they went to the United States Supreme Court to try to get clarification. Come on.
Well, I think that everyone out there understands who Donald Trump is. Everyone understands that he wants to be a strong man president. Everyone understands that he's running essentially against the constitutional constraints. Everyone understands that he's running against the rule of law being applicable, at least to him and to those he would choose not to have it applicable to. And yet the rationale that people give for voting for him is that things were prosperous and things were good during the 4 years of Donald Trump, and therefore we should get him back again. Okay, well, I'm not sure that in the great arc of history, momentary prosperity is going to be the measurement that will be looked at in terms of determining what happened to the American democracy and what happened to America, because I'm confident that in the 30s, one thing that Adolf Hitler did provide to the Germans was prosperity during a period of depression in the rest of the world. And I think that the Germans who jumped on his bandwagon, many of them did it for the reason of prosperity, okay? But prosperity isn't the end of the game. And it isn't certainly the end of the game for median America, the middle American income people who are not experiencing this prosperity today the way people at the upper 10% are experiencing it. And yet they're willing now to put at risk the democracy. And there are people who are very close to this and have a great deal of understanding and who you would think people would recognize as unbiased, like Mitt Romney, like Liz Cheney, like a number of people, like almost everyone who served in Donald Trump's cabinet, all of whom are raising a red flag and saying, this person is dangerous for the democracy. They're not talking about prosperity in the meantime, okay? And prosperity is something that can be looked at on the cycles of the business cycle, okay? And can be pointed at. If you want to look at periods of prosperity, we've had more prosperity under Democratic presidents than we have had under Republican presidents. That's a fact. But is that the reason why we elect people? No. And in fact, the Republicans have done a very good job of, contrary to the facts, painting themselves as the fiscally responsible party that brings prosperity to Americans. That isn't borne out by history.
But Sandy, these are fellow conservatives and Republicans. When you talked about Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, and others, these aren't Democrats who have said this. And yet here's a man that is feared so much that counsel has gone to the United States Supreme Court to get clarity on whether or not a president of the United States can be held, has immunity from whatever he's done. Senate has never been done before.
No, I know. And my concern is that people who are close to this are issuing a warning, and the people who want to ignore the warning are doing it out of the convenience of essentially prosperity, their view of what it is that will make, what will feather their nest, okay? And feathering our nest can't be the most important thing in light of the arc of history and the importance of, for instance, the democratic principles of our country. And I know that the people who find it convenient to back Donald Trump will say that it's far-fetched to accuse him of being someone who can endanger the democracy. My only point about that is there's an awful lot of people very close to him, an awful lot of people who understand the machinations and the levers of power, who are telling us and warning us that it provides a great danger.
You know, Sandy, you talked about prosperity, and, you know, that clearly there's some folk who are not prospering so well and didn't prosper so well under Donald Trump, who maybe just are with him for his charisma.
Well, I think there's an awful lot of people, the people who aren't prospering, like I've said, there's plenty of people in middle America who have not prospered, who are angry about not prospering, who blame their government, who haven't done the math to figure out that a reduction of $1,500 in their taxes is not worth giving up child daycare potential aid from the government, is not worth giving up Medicaid for all in the state, or extended Medicaid that was turned down in the state of Wisconsin. People aren't understanding, but they're reacting emotionally, okay? And so Donald Trump is an anti-establishment candidate, as odd as that is for a billionaire. He's a populist antitrust candidate, and he's pulling the levers that relates to, and those levers involve angry people who feel disenfranchised.
You know, Sandy, you pointed out $1,500. What people may not recognize or understand is when we're talking about those tax cuts for a billionaire, it's only $1,500, $2,000.
Well, $1,500 might be the tax cut for a $65,000 family. The upper 10% are getting $150,000, $200,000, million, you know, huge tax reductions,
right?
Okay? So, you know, the bill threw a bone to Tom, Dick, and Mary saying, and it was cynically done, like, you people will salivate over just a little bit of money. It's like the rich guy throwing dollar bills on the ground and watching people grovel for them, okay? And the people groveling for them are happy to get them. And the guy doing it is it's nothing, okay? And what that last tax reduction did is it provided essentially nothing to middle America, a bone, in exchange for massive tax cuts for those who made lots of money. And even more cynical about it is that bone that was thrown had an expiration date, had a sunset.
Not for the
kind of tax reductions that were bringing great benefit to the wealthy. Those didn't have a sunset. That's the cynicism of this whole thing. And however, that doesn't get around the fact that there are lots of Tom, Dick, and Marys who are angry and disenfranchised, who are biting on the bait that Donald Trump is throwing them. And that bait, unfortunately, if taken, I think provides a great danger to our country.
844-967-2789. My co-host is Sandy Williams. You guys hang on the phone lines. We'll come to you. Don't touch that dial. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds, and any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Snowflakes falling, church bells calling. It's Christmas time again. Fire.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we're talking about the fact that corporate counsel, what was the guy's
name? Special counsel.
Special counsel. Jack.
Smith.
You forgot
his name, and his name was Smith.
Yeah. He has petitioned, I guess, the United States Supreme Court to respond to what Donald Trump is basically
saying.
Well,
what's happened was there was a lower court ruling, okay, and the appeal from that lower court ruling would be to the Court of Appeals normally in D.C., and so Jack Smith is seeking to bypass that and go directly to the Supreme Court, knowing that whoever prevails at the Court of Appeals level, whoever loses at that level, will appeal to the Supreme
Court.
It'll
slow everything down.
So that's just an interim stop that will take months, many months.
Right.
And it will slow the whole process down. So Jack Smith's argument is, look, this is going to get to the Supreme Court. You don't, and there's no specialization, no special knowledge or that can be contributed to your deliberation, Supreme Court, by the decision to be made by the Court of Appeals, and therefore you should make this decision in the first place. And so he's going to get to seek a direct appeal to the Supreme Court. And, you know, it was done during the Nixon period, during Watergate. It's not unheard of. It's a very logical kind of approach. There is no reason for that interim stop because the Supreme Court would put no particular deference, would pay no deference to the Court of Appeals decision because this is a matter of first instance on constitutional law.
So Donald Trump is really looking to slow the process down so the election can take place.
Oh, yeah.
Stall it.
Yeah. And after the election, he's president. He can then test the question of whether he can pardon himself or whatever. You know, he'll install an attorney general who will fire the special counsel and the case is over.
Clearly he doesn't have the aptitude to understand that, but he has people around him.
I think Donald Trump has. He's been in 5,000 litigations. he's the jailhouse lawyer, at least in terms of his capacity to represent himself. And the one thing that a moneyed defendant knows about the law, about lawsuits, is delay, delay, delay.
All right, let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
I'm doing fine. I have been studying Trump since he was elected, and I read everybody's book. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. And I have come to the conclusion that Trump is using Mein Kampf as a Bible. He's using the Hitler playbook. And what he does is not so much as if he's charismatic. What he does is that if you're good to him and you follow his orders and you do just what he tells you to do and you do not talk back to him or say, hey, this is wrong, he will reward you. People who say to him, well, I don't think this is right, this is unconstitutional, they are gone. He has swept the Republican Party clean. And you can see this on everybody who is leaving the Republican Party. Anybody who believes in the rule of law, who believes in the Constitution, they are gone. And he wants complete control. And that is what these people are giving him. They say they get their marching orders and they do exactly what they're taught. And you have to look at, you have to actually have studied Adolf Hitler too, obviously. Kristallnacht was not just the time period where they broke into Jewish businesses and homes and that. Kristallnacht, he took out anybody who did not support him. That's what Adolf Hitler did at that particular time. And Trump is not killing them, but he is debasing them. He's throwing them out of the department. He is telling them to leave, whatever. He calls them rhinos, whatever, names, and tell them they're a discredit to the Republican Party. And this will continue on until people really wake up and realize what he is doing. It's all about power, and it's all about money. And as long as you give him money and as long as you give him the power to do this, he will continue on. And he could possibly be the new dictator of the United States.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it, Sandy.
Well, yeah, I think that the term Adam Kunzinger used and warned us about was that when Trump gets elected, he will put a bunch of sycophants. Sycophants are people who say only yes, sir, never say no, sir, never come up with anything other than what their boss wants to hear.
And there's always one of them around, right?
Well, there's plenty of sycophants.
Right.
And clearly what Donald Trump has done, if you're not a sycophant and follow him, at least he scares you into a holy place whack-a-mole with all of his opponents and is pretty effective at it, because it's clear that there are people who will privately say things to one another that get repeated about negative things about this person, which publicly they are unwilling to say and will bow and curtsy as necessary. And so this is a very dangerous pulse we have, and it really involves a personality cult problem. And I fear that if people are going to embrace it in the name of prosperity, in using the rubric that our callers use to talk about why it is that they'll support him in spite of the fact that they hold their nose.
Sandy, I don't know the outcome of it, but I had a conversation with a friend, conservative friend last night, who clearly told me that the Supreme Court is going to rule in Donald Trump's favor. And I told him I didn't believe it. He said, well, they owe him. And I'm like, what do you mean they owe him? Well, you know, he appointed them.
Well, so far, so good in that regard. I mean, it is true that the predicted outcome for the Roe v. Wade reversal happened, but the rest of the Supreme Court actions have continued to demonstrate that maybe people appointed to the Supreme Court, at least most of them,
independent thinkers,
take their job seriously, and it is a lifetime appointment. So whereas they might owe him in some moral sense of owing, but there's no obligation and there's no sanction. There's nothing to be done to them to remove them from office. Although, I suppose impeachment is a possibility.
All right. 844-967-2789. Tune into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Don't touch that dial.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS.